I'd like to welcome you to Shoreacre City Council meeting Monday, July 28, 2014 at 7 p.m. First roll of business is call order. Roll call.
Nancy Schnell, present.
Neil Moyer here.
Bo Bunker, present.
Rick Moses, present.
Richard Adams, present. Mike Wheeler, present.
Thank you very much, gentlemen and ladies. Next one, roll call of business, pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the United States, one nation, under God, indivisible.
Item 3.0, 3.1, there's no special presentations tonight at this time. Moving on to 4.0, approval of minutes. Item 4.1, regular council meeting July 14, 2014. If the council has had time to go over the previous minutes of the meetings, any questions? Not over any council, regular council meetings? Any approval of motion for minutes?
I'll move approval of the minutes.
Okay. There's been a motion made by Councilman Moore to approve the minutes. Do you have a second?
I second.
And Mr. Bunker, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes. Thank you. Item 5.0, council reports and requests. 5.1, our mayor's minutes. Meetings attended. I met myself and Mr. Stahl met with the Port Authority just recently. Over relations, basically to improve our relations with the Port Authority. It was Phyllis Standoff?
Shuttle.
I want to make sure I pronounce that right. We had a meeting with her for probably an hour and a half or so. It was a very good meeting, discussing over the future of dredging, the future of the port and Shoreacres working together on different projects and helping one another assist each other. We have some future plans down the road that we'd like to try to work out, and we talked about that a little bit. At this time, she was going to go back to her peers and talk to them about how we could improve relations. We did discuss the dredging to go off. My understanding, they talked about December is when it's going to start. We are going to have a meeting, a special meeting here at City Hall sometime around October. We'll pick a date. That'd be for the citizens. We'll put plenty of notice out for them to be able to come down here and voice their opinions and let us know what it won't be a council meeting. It'll be actually a more of a, you want to use the verbiage, town hall type of meeting for everybody to come out and talk to them. We'll have representatives from the dredging company, from the people who make the equipment that they purchase for this, plus the Port Authority. My understanding, they did buy quite a bit of electronic dredging equipment for pumps and whatnot, to try to help with the noise resistance. It's still going to make noise, of course, but it's something we have to do to move forward in the future with the port and whatnot. So I think it was a very positive meeting. She was very excited about it. There's been pursuing some bad blood in the past with the Port Authority and Shoreacres, and we're trying to move past that and get a positive role going and positive dialogue so it'll help us all. With that being said, I attended an advisory, mayor's advisory meeting with all the mayors within the local region, along with a couple of state senators and representatives that were there. It was a very helpful meeting, going over generally what we're talking about, the upcoming the dredging in our system, stormwater and things of this nature. Just going over a little bit of all the problems we all have that live on the water. There's more to come. Myself being a new mayor, there's a lot of things I have to learn about this. But it was a positive meeting because I'm able to talk to mayors from Morgan's Point, Seabrook, and other places to get their view on how they're handling certain things going on in their general area. So I was real happy with that. The Parks Advisory Board is going to be looking, they're actually not going, they are actively looking for two folks for their committee. At one time, I think Mr. Adams was on the advisory committee board with them. But they actually have two folks that they're looking for to volunteer some time. If you can get a hold of Ms. Victor's, Diane Victor basically will be happy to help you in any way, get everything set up. We have another individual that is going to go onto the board. We'll leave two slots open, but that will be on the next agenda to announce and appoint that individual. On our next council meeting, and David, you can put this in the books, what I'd like to do is we're going to have Clemson Ambulance Service come out and try to do a somewhat of a show and tell, I guess you can look at it that way. I'd like them to come out and bring the unit, let the citizens know that I'll be here. What I'd like to do is recess the council meeting for about 15 to 20 minutes so folks can go out, look at the ambulance, meet the paramedics, maybe the supervisor, look at the units, see what they have on them, just be able to ask questions to them and whatnot out there at the parking lot, and then readjourn the meeting, basically start over again. With that being said, I think that covers everything I had written down here. I apologize. August the 6th at 6 p.m., we're going to have a budget meeting. It will be a workshop in the Tom Coleman Room at 6 p.m. We will be meeting here to go over the first budget meeting of the year that we're going to have. I'm hoping to be able to have one to two of these and be able to get our budget in line, and the council will approve and move forward on that. We don't want to drag this out like in the past how it's been done. We want to make sure we get it move forward. Sometime after the budget has been approved, we move on. We are going to have another meeting with the public, and not a council meeting, but another general workshop to go over the water tower and start talking about it and our plans in the future. With that being said, we're going to move on to item 6.0, public hearings, public comments. 6.1 is citizens' comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address the council, comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are directed to the city council. The dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law participating in discussion or deliberation of items not specialized, identified on the agenda. And with that being said, any comments from the citizens at this time?
Patrick Stanton, 128 Shade On. First, I'd like to talk about the 8.2, which is on the agenda. I had asked Nancy to present this, and the reason I had talked to Dolly about this, it was an oversight. The way that the ordinance reads in speed bumps, once it's decided to have speed bumps, then each individual property owner can decide whether they want it in front of their property or not. Only it didn't say property owner, it said resident, which means that a rental person could decide whether there were speed bumps in front of the property. I don't think we want that. So that's the reason for the change. Secondly, there's going to be a meeting August the 5th on surge proposals by the LaPorte CAC, which is 38 companies, the plant managers from 38 companies, and other people that they bring. I went to this last year. It was very informative. It's going to be kind of be an update, and I think they have some new proposals about surge protection. So it's going to be on August the 5th, and if you come at 5:45, you get a free dinner. So, I saw on the format today that they're going to have a memorial service for Cleo Davidson Friday, August the 8th, 10:30 at the Houston Yacht Club. Cleo is a very good citizen of this area. Was on the school board for a number of years. Her husband was a trustee at St. Jacinto College. They even got a building named for her. And I served with her in Rotary, and she was just a real neat person who participated and helped our area. So you might want to consider that. I put in front of you some budget considerations. And real briefly, what little bit of time I've got left, I'd like to go through them. I'd like to see us get set aside some money for summer labor assistance for high school or college children that live in the city of Shore Acres to help public works. Because let's face it, every summer somebody gets sick, people take vacations and so forth, and all the weed cutting and so forth that needs to be done, I'm sure that some young people could help us there. So I would like for you all to consider setting aside some money to do that. Rumble strips with appropriate signs at each street that has 20 miles per hour. Now, for instance, Miramar has it down on the north side, but they don't have it on the south side. Plus, the signs that are on the street, they faded. You know, they need to be reworked. Mr. Plant made the comment that he didn't know what the speed limit was, and there was one in the road there about 30 feet from his house, but he didn't see it. So this might be something we want to consider. Add minimum of one piece of playground equipment and provide a roof over the existing equipment. It had been promised at various times that we would replace the roof that we took down, plus the Civic Club has given some money for a slide, and there's been several things that have disappeared over the years. There's not much for little kids. You know, there was a merry-go-round at one time, there was a little horse that they could ride on. We need to update the playground. Purchase rubber or generic material to cover the playground. This solves some maintenance problems, but as well as it's safer for the children. And there's a lot of different types of material. I know when I was over in Georgia, they had a material that was made out of a straw and rubber, which would be cheaper than just all rubber. So I think that's something we ought to look at. Purchase defibrillators for every city vehicle. When my wife died, the gentleman showed up. He didn't transfer the defibrillator from another vehicle, so he didn't have a defibrillator. I don't think it would have helped anyway, but I think every city vehicle ought to have a defibrillator, including the public works, including the one that, the real small one, because time is money, especially when a person's health. Provide fund to clean drainage pipes in all critical areas. Also, add drainage pipes where necessary. In each yard acres where we have the small pipes, over the years, there's been lawn cuttings and mud and everything. You can go and look at some of these pipes, and they're halfway up, so water can't get through. And when we have water and it floods in, it needs to drain fast, because if it doesn't, people's houses flood. How do I know? I got two houses there, it's been flooded six times. So it's very important. 5 minutes up?
Yes, sir. That's our Fisher's last statement there.
Okay. So, anyway, I know in the past at one time they had like an auger, a giant auger. The county did it and went through all of these smaller pipes.
Yes, sir.
And I know when Eloy was here, he was using AAA. He was blasting the material out. So, anyway, I would like to see some money allocated for this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Each one of y'all have a list. If you have any questions, please contact me.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Anybody else? No? Jim? All right. No other comments this time. We'll just go ahead and move on to 7.0. Before I do that hand it over to David, I want to apologize. I've got so many notes I was looking at. I slipped something that was very important, but it's something I really don't want to talk about, but it's something I have to as a mayor. Bring something up. We've had a, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this, one of our officers, Officer Bala, had been relieved of duty. He's on paid suspension at this time. Officer Bala is on paid suspension because of Harris County has basically filed an indictment against him. And at this time, I want to stress that basically you're innocent until proven guilty. But due to the nature, this had nothing to do with Shore Acres. Once again, I repeat, this has nothing to do with Shore Acres. This is from a different agency that filed a complaint. Harris County took the complaint, and they went with it. For this reason, and being a police officer, he was suspended with pay at this time. Now, with that being said, Chief Harrison, by law, had to open up an IA investigation on our end to make sure there's no wrongdoing going on in our city. However, this, once again, I want to stress to the folks, he is suspended at this time, on paid suspension. He's not fired at this time. This is not a Shore Acres event. This is being duplicated out of Harris County from a different agency. So I want to make sure before it runs rapid through the city. Okay? I do apologize. I did not mean to forget that. I was trying to figure out where to put it. I appreciate it. Going on to 7.1, City Administrator Devin Stahl, General Activity Report. Mr. Stahl?
Good evening. We have a lot of activity to report on. We continue putting in new water line
to allow the project on West Forest to continue to move forward. The county will be putting concrete surface in from West Country Club to Center Street. That will complete the Country Club subdivision in all concrete. We did have that water line that was in the way. We have a fire hydrant that's been taken out of service, and a new fire hydrant has been placed, and the line is being run, and we're about to tie that in and make way for that. The last week, the Commissioner's Court in Harris County awarded the contract for that work to Marcon. Marcon has done the other concrete street work in the city, so we think that's good for us, and that they know the ropes and have already hit all the rough spots and know how to deal with our particular utilities and ditches and citizens. They did all the concrete streets that are over there that are butt to it, so I think that's a good thing. I don't have a start date on that yet, but I would imagine it's going to move quickly. I know that the county was only going to give them somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 to 90 days to finish the project, so it's a very fast-track project. On water plant number one, we have that plant back in service, as you know. We have some issues that are still outstanding on the punch list that are being addressed by the contractor. Our contractor that we had paint the hydro tank has completed that work and painted all of the other piping that wasn't part of the original project. We've inspected and paid for that. We're pleased with the appearance of that work, and it should extend the life of that equipment for quite a while. We had an issue with the altitude valve at water plant 2, which caused us to reevaluate the settings of that and to make some corrections, and in doing so, decided now was a good time to bring the new water plant 1 up to the full intended design pressure. So we have now raised the pressure last week, on Wednesday, to 60 psi. So our operating pressure now is 60 psi, and you may have noticed that increase in pressure, and our intent is for that to be a permanent situation now. As we anticipated, having waterline failures as we ratcheted up the pressure, we're now at that top level. And we did, in fact, have a break over this last weekend between Byway and Old Highway 146, which was no surprise, but we addressed that quickly. We haven't had any other breaks as a result of that. We did have another break on West Forest that's related to where construction work was done and equipment was being moved along that road. We don't chalk that up to the pressure. But we're real pleased with the performance and that everything is holding. And I think that we're going to provide our residents with greater pressure, greater capacity, and that's going to help us in the long run. Moving to the next item is the Shore Acres Boulevard Waterline Project. That contractor's been doing a great job. They've been moving the work right along. They've been flagging traffic. We've had minimal conflicts. They keep a crew out with flat shovels, keeping the mud off the road, and are moving quickly. It's been a real advantage that that's not open cut work. They're doing pits and dropping a bore in and doing that work by boring, which means we've not disrupted streets or driveways. That's a big plus for our residents. And they're making, like I said, good progress. One of the advantages we'll have there is when it's tied in, we'll have whole series of new valves on our system, which will allow us to isolate portions of the city when we have breaks or making repairs. And we're trying to get away from where we have to reduce pressure citywide every time that there's an issue. And we're making progress. On heavy pickup, still haven't had a follow-up contact from Republic. They did not send the grapple truck out last week as they had represented. They did, however, send a rear loader out on Friday. It wasn't doing residential pickup. It was picking up some debris. Again, to reduce the amount of material that was out there, I had Gabby Tree Service come out and do curbside chipping. They started at the east end of the city and worked west. The idea there was to reduce the amount of material that needs to be picked up, not to have them continue to work day after day chipping So they did not make it all the way to the west end of the city. They spent their full day. I was expecting today to hear from Republic and have not. I sent a communication to them, made a call last Friday, and have not heard back from them. So tomorrow we'll be back on top of Republic and find out what their status is. So.
Sorry, real quick.
Yeah. Okay.
Question?
Yeah.
Can I?
Yeah, sure.
When you call Gabby out, is that money that would have been normally paid to Republic?
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Republic is all, there's a day rate and a volume rate. So when Republic comes out, we basically pay an hourly rate for the equipment and manpower, and then we pay a per cubic yard rate.
Okay.
So when they miss, they don't get paid at all. It's not like there's some catch up there. If I send Gabby out, he chips stuff that they could have picked up. They're just out that money. And so Gabby can't pick up and won't pick up fences, construction debris, and logs, and those things. So we can't not have Republic get out here with a grapple truck. But just trying to reduce the amount of materials.
Gotcha. And we do have, Alderman Snowden mentioned the last time, you know, we have basically our contract coming up. This all leads to negotiations because we haven't done a contract in quite some time. So now it's like, well, okay, guys, we've had all these problems. Man, you're going to have to work with us. So there is a little bit of a silver lining if there's anything that we have something that David and I can work with.
I attended the LEPC meeting in Deer Park this month. And plan on continuing to make those meetings, particularly as we move into hurricane season. Also attended an HGAC debris management workshop. It was third in a series of three. There have been a lot of changes since Ike, things that we'll need to do if we're going to be reimbursed. They've ratcheted in and tightened it up, so we would have more hoops to jump through, and now is the time to know what those are so we don't get caught short and not getting full reimbursement. There was a parish in Louisiana that has formed since Ike that they went back and audited, and it's like $23 million, $53 million that they said the parish has to pay back. What they call de-obligating, so it's not going to cover. That's going backwards, and so certainly don't want to be in that position. We have ditch work that's being scheduled. We have our contractor who has done ditch work for us before, moving between jobs in Pearland, and we're scheduling in so that we can get maintenance work done on the ditches, primarily those ditches that weren't involved in a road project, to make sure that we achieve drainage, or not one of, I say road project, where the concrete streets were at. If it was an asphalt overlay, there was no drainage work done there. So there are areas in the city where we want to improve the drainage. That's a budgeted item that we have. I have met with National Sign. We now have our wide area network in for our SCADA, for our utilities, and that is the backbone that we're using to be able to update the sign, manage the gateway sign from City Hall. They have had a change in their tech staff, and so they came out and opened the sign and the controls up and documented what they have there and are making a game plan to come back and integrate that. Software has been installed here at City Hall to support that. So I'm looking forward here in the near future to not have to drive out and park next to the sign to update it. And last but certainly not least, and I sent some emails out earlier today, it looks like hurricane season is really coming. We have a tropical disturbance out there, keeps pointing our direction. And I really don't like the name Bertha. This just doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't.
So we're going to ratchet up our preparations to make sure that if we have any weather come this way, that we're prepared for it. And that is the administrative report.
Thank you, Mr. Snow. I appreciate your questions from the council.
Yeah, well, question maybe more of an observation regarding our waterline project out here on Short Acre Boulevard. The contractor's doing that work. Do they have any direct supervision from the city?
The city engineer is the project manager.
An observation that I made last week when they were over here at Byway, and they had dug that pit pretty deep, And I think, if I'm not mistaken, OSHA requires any pit over 6 feet deep that people are into has to have barricades. They have people down there, I mean, to keep from
shoring.
Yeah, some kind of shoring. They didn't provide any shoring for their workers when they were down in that pit working.
Okay.
My concern, not only am I concerned for the workers themselves, but also from a liability standpoint. Were we not to provide supervision or at least mention that to their supervision, wouldn't want the city to be held liable for an injury or death for one of their employees. So for the continuation of this project, you know, hopefully they don't have to go that deep in all locations. But anytime they have a worker down in a hole that deep, they're supposed to have shoring up.
Okay. I'll pass that along to the engineer.
Any other questions for council? Okay. No questions at this time. Move on. I'm 8.0 business. 8.1, consideration approval of the members.
Can I put a order of 7.2, the monthly financial report?
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. 7.2. Thank you.
All right. In your packet is the financial report. And you can see that we're doing very well. General fund revenues are at 68%, and general fund expenditures are at 60%. So revenues lead expenditures by 8%. While we are not on track for all the revenue that we had budgeted, we're also certainly under projecting under on the expenditures. So we're definitely in the black. The operation of the budget. The checking account balances, the general fund is at the end of June, $64,059.62. The utility fund, $92,449.67. Our text pool, there was no withdrawals from text pool. So the text pool balance is now $954,932.56, earning a whopping $22.32 in interest. Our CDBG fund balance was $1,386.91, which is the idle balance between deposits and withdrawals on the grant. Our certificates of deposit have maturity value $255,852. We had two certificates of deposit that came up for renewal this month. They were both 12-month CDs, and I have renewed those CDs, and I have laddered them, and I have included into your financial report the laddered investment plan for those CDs. The term on those CDs that renewed, one is 36 months and one is 48 months. That will earn us a small improvement in interest, not much. But what that does is with that combined with the next two that are due to renew, is we'll be able to ladder those in so that we have a CD that matures each year. And that will allow us to have access to that money without penalty of early withdrawal. Each CD is between $60,000 and $68,000 in value. We have not disturbed those CDs in a very long time, and it's not likely that we will. And hopefully interest rates will improve by 2016 when the next two come up for renewal. And those were both 26-month CDs. Property tax collection, we're 99% collected now. Or property tax. We had an adjustment to the tax roll in June where we got another $2,753 added to the tax roll. That's a very small amount. It did raise our levy by about $23. We collected $6,951.04 in current taxes and $210.43 in delinquent taxes in June. On the sales tax, the sales tax revenue continues to be performing above prior year. General sales tax for June was $5,554.02, up 5% over prior year, which means the road maintenance sales tax was $1,388.51. That's the financial report.
Thank you, David. Any questions from council?
I've got two questions on the budget on page 4 of the monthly budget report. Could you explain the legal fees and the background as to why it went over so much? Briefly.
Yes. We had two significant areas that put that over. We had two personnel issues that were addressed by legal, and we had some significant research that was required or filings with the Attorney General's office on open records requests. And those are the two substantial impacts to the legal fees.
And my second one is page 9, the outside services.
Oh, on the sewer department?
Yes.
Yes, that was a failure of lift station pumps. And we contract that out to Pump and Power.
Thank you.
Any other questions from council?
Yes, there's. I just had a couple of smaller things.
Yes.
And I was absent. The new signage there at Circle Park and then down at Shell Beach, especially when it's Shell Beach, I understand, protecting the city. Where was that paid? The only place I can see in our whole budget that it fell under signs is page 7, item 6260 under Public Works, and then it says currently it's only $182 spent.
Yes, that's the signs at Shell Beach.
Oh, okay, and then what about the wood for Circle Park?
The large sign at Circle Park, mm-hmm. that was paid for by the LAPC.
Okay.
The city didn't pay anything for that. We have in the warehouse now signs for Miramar Park and Heron Park that are the same.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from council? I apologize. I checked the wrong spot here a little bit. Moving on to 8.0. Business. 8.1. Consideration approval of invoices. Council had time to go through the invoices.
Okay, I'll make the motion to approve.
Thank you, sir, Mr. Holmes. Have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those against? Thank you. Moving on to business 8.2, consideration action to adopt ordinance number 2014-162, modified traffic pump petition requirements. Alderman Snell.
Thank you, and as Mr. Stanton said, he brought this to my attention, and after looking at the ordinance, it's a matter of semantics. You know, I think of all of us as property owners, I don't want a renter to be in my home to be able to say, yeah, put a big speed bump right at the end of the driveway, and then if I decide, hey, I don't want to rent anymore, I want to move back home, I have no recourse. So that's why it's just a matter of semantics where it puts the power in the actual property holder, taxpaying person's hands rather than someone that is temporarily occupying that space. And that's all that's about.
Mr. Self,
yeah, I would have a little bit of concern about 14th Amendment equal protection. That someone who rents or leases a property or lives in a relative's property, be it a son or a daughter, not being able to have the same protection from the hazard that other citizens are afforded. And I just raise that as something to consider. We could have an area where, because of the limitations on where those can be placed, because they can't be placed with a certain distance of a curb or intersection or corner, that may preclude there from being any traffic hump when enough of the other residents on the street would desire them. And by virtue of that, we would automatically exclude them, even if the person living in that house wanted it. And we do have some people who have leased or rented for multiple years to where you wouldn't be able to really differentiate them from owning the property.
I disagree with that because they're not the ones paying the property taxes as the leaser. And let's say if somebody trips and falls on that residence, they're not going to sue the renter. They're going to go after the homeowner. And so there's no, I mean, to me, this makes good business sense. It makes good sense that the people that actually own the property will have the final say. Now, if it's something where somebody's kid has been living there for 100 years, if they haven't kicked the kid out of the house or letting them live in, they probably get along well enough to have a discourse about what's the best thing for everyone involved. I kind of get the maybe sometimes once in a blue moon thing, but I think that this actually is providing, just with that change, more protection from the actual property owners in the city.
Well, and it's still listing residents, though, right?
I mean, the only change that this makes is the placement of the traffic column. Someone who is a tenant could still petition and could still reach the threshold of asking for it. But what this removes is that being granting their consent to having the hump placed and the signs associated placed in front of their property. And really, it's in the reverse. It's a reverse of that. We were trying to make sure that if someone had an objection, they had input in the process of objecting to having a traffic hump or the signs associated with that placed in front of their residence. And now this would remove that if they are not the owner of the property. But in all other respects, it would stay the same.
Yeah, looking at it, I'd like to make a comment on it. Is that, you know, listen to yourself, Mr. Stahl. I have to lean more towards David's side because I know that there's houses that are rented here that some people factor in what the taxes are going to be or close to it, and they're actually paying additional money on their rent because they're long-term residents. So, of course, this is up to council to make this decision. If you decide y'all want to do it tonight, do it on the next meeting, research it. It's totally up to y'all. But it's, in essence, my understanding, what I'm reading, what I'm hearing, what I've also read, is it's really is going to make that much of a change. If they petition, they still may meet the threshold to get it. Is that correct?
It just wouldn't be able to go there unless they were the owner of the property. And
right.
Under the policies that we set out. I mean, this is really, you know, the equal protection is discriminating against the classes of people. And I guess I don't see it much different than us saying that you can't reserve the baseball field unless you own the property, not just live in the house.
Right.
Or you can't, when you start talking about city services and protections and conveniences, differentiating whether you are a lord or a serf is basically where we're headed. You know, you make a subclass of citizens. You can't reserve this park, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. You can't have a traffic hump if you don't own the property.
Okay.
And I just raised the concern. You know.
Thank you. Council input.
I'd like to note, if I may.
Yes, sir.
We do have property owners in this city who are not residents.
Correct.
And that sort of, they're not disenfranchised in the sense that they can come to the council meetings, express themselves, they can participate in the petition or not, as the case may be. Well, actually, I'm not sure on that last point, because if they're a non-resident property owner and the ordinance presently talks about residents, then there's a disconnect there of whether or not they can be act or be treated the same as a resident. But it's the resident who is presumably affected by the issue which the petition is being brought for. That's why they presumably signed the petition or elected not to sign it. Presumably, if a traffic management strategy were to play out, they would be the ones who would be the beneficiaries of that traffic management. We're talking about pumps on city roads, signs on city right-of-way. So the only thing we're really talking about that the property owner slash resident may have an issue with is the specific location relative to being within two property lines that may be perpendicular to the city road. I'm not sure that can always be resolved the same way in each case, but as long as the city administers this ordinance in a reasonable manner, and given that we've gone through this experience in the last couple of years, maybe 3 years, I'm not sure I appreciate the nature of the difficulty that may be alluded to here.
I'm not exactly sure what you said, but I think I agree with some of what you said. Absentee property owners is a big thing for me. I'm not sure exactly how this is approached right now. For example, if you have a street that has, say, 15 properties on it, and one person owns six of those properties, if there is a petition put forth, does this person that owns six of those properties have six votes in this?
No, our code specifically says one vote per household.
Well, it says one vote per household.
Yes.
But if you say, or property, now he has six properties there.
Yeah. There's two halves to this, though.
So there's where my confusion is with this, and where I'm a little bit hesitant to jump in there and say, okay, we can do this, because that kind of swings the power of this to absentee property owners.
Yeah, there's two halves to this. The first is the petitioning, and this doesn't change the petitioning. And the way the petitioning reads is that you reach a threshold percentage of households on the street that have to petition for the traffic pumps. Then in that process, by signing the petition with this change, we would say you have to be a property owner, that then by signing the petition, you are consenting to having the traffic pump placed in front of your property. Now, out of practice, we've tried to put the traffic pumps, when we've looked at doing them before in the placement, on the property line boundary between two. So in essence, now you've got two properties, and either one could have King's X if they're not the owner of the property occupying it. But we did structure the petition to be residents, so that we did have a situation like you were saying.
I didn't see that when I called up this 62-77 in the city code. I didn't see where that was separated.
Yeah, one of the things we were trying to achieve is if you have a street that has 10 properties on it with only two houses, that the eight absentee property owners petition for traffic pumps on a street they don't live on or go to.
Right, that was my concern.
And to have that affect those residents. And I'll see here. See if I can't find that for you.
The other things to debate in the meantime.
Alderman Snell, it's up to you. Would you like to maybe put it up for the next agenda, let people research it, or do you want to move forward?
No, you know what? I can bring it up again next time. So I would like to make a motion to pass Ordinance 2014 amending the City Code of Shorter to modify traffic constitution requirements. It would include the
coverage
of
property
owners.
Okay. We hadn't closed the session yet.
But you can have a motion.
And I can have a motion, though, right?
Yeah.
And after a court. You're actually not supposed to discuss until there is a proper motion.
Correct.
Okay.
Just saying.
I'm still reading Robert's rules.
She made a motion.
She made a motion, but she can ask the questions. Go ahead, Richard.
Wasn't it like 4 years ago or so that we had a petition on Miramar for speed humps?
Yes.
Or how did that go?
It was
supposed to kill.
And that was with the ordinance written before this change, correct. Obviously.
Yes, correct.
Any history on that, how that went?
It was turned down by council, and it was certainly not unanimous amongst the property owners on Miramar.
Well, the decisiveness on this was Shorecker because did a traffic study that didn't indicate the need for traffic models.
That's correct.
There was no reason to spend money on something that our traffic studies indicated was so necessary. And so I don't believe it even had a second.
Was looked at a, it was two times on Miramar, correct? They did two studies?
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Okay. Yeah, we did one winter and one summer.
Right.
Two times. The winter did not indicate a level, and it was suggested by the residents that if we had done it in summer that it would. And so another 60 or 90 days was done in the summer. And I found it as, in terms of petitions, the city will accept petitions once a year from June 1st to June 30th. The petition must include the address of each person signing the petition, the signature of only one adult member of each household will be counted on the petition. So it does require a household and an adult member. By signing the petition, residents give advance approval to installation of traffic humps in front of their property together with necessary signage and no parking requirements. I forgot about the no parking, but that, because of the safety of the traffic humps, you can't have cars parked on or immediately before or after one. So if someone loses control of their vehicle or it veers left or right, they don't get a parked car. So you put a no parking zone there to keep that from happening. And that's also why you don't put them at intersections and at curves, because people do lose control of vehicles when they hit a speed or a traffic hump. Presumably when they're speeding, but not necessarily. And it does create a liability for the city if we induce an accident with a hump.
See, what you said earlier about we've separated the petition versus the installation, because down at the bottom it says, by signing the petition, the residents give advance approval to installation of traffic bumps.
Right.
So once you've signed that petition, you basically said you've approved installing these traffic humps. It doesn't say anything about installing them in front of your neighbor's house.
No, that's correct. But the separation is you don't have to be the owner. You only have to be the resident to petition.
Correct.
In terms of having them installed, which is what we're talking about changing, to have it installed, you would have to be the owner. Even if you wanted it in front of your house. If you've got, three small children and you petition for traffic humps, you can do that. And then your neighbors on each side of you say they don't want traffic humps in front of their house and they don't sign the petition, they don't participate, you can't have it in front of your own house even though you have petitioned for it, unless you own the property with the change.
There's a motion on the floor. Any other questions?
I'm sorry, I missed his second.
It hasn't been seconded.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
So, what was your motion, Nancy? So,
we bring it up again. Now we really please.
Yes.
Thank you, ma'am.
Make motion to City Council pass ordinance 2014-162, amending the code of the City of Troy to modify the traffic petition requirement.
There's a motion on the floor. Do I have a second? No motion on the floor, then it dies. Am I correct?
Correct.
No second. Okay. May 4.3, moving on from business. Consideration action to adopt ordinance 2014-163, establishing an interlocal agreement between the city and Harris County to provide emergency management plans and programs, provide mutual aid and emergency assistance. Mr. Stahl.
Yes, the we have an agreement with Harris County. Because of some changes at FEMA related to interlocal agreements and reimbursements and how reimbursements will happen in Category A and Category B declared emergencies, they require that the interlocal agreement be re-approved every 2 years. And so this is largely housekeeping and to make sure that Harris County and Shore Acres can both get reimbursed in the event of an emergency where they are providing assistance mutual aid. And so this piggybacks on the agreement we already have. We also have a resolution this evening that establishes the Harris County Emergency Management Organization, which is also part and parcel. So these two things go hand in glove. It doesn't really change the way we operate at all. It just brings us into compliance with the current requirements of FEMA for reimbursement.
It's a compliance issue.
I'll make a motion that we pass ordinance 2014-163, approving the authorization of an interlocal agreement between Shore Acres and Harris County.
Before I ask for a second, is there any questions?
Not supposed to discuss until there's a proper second.
A second. I'll see that answer.
One order, sorry.
Bob Bunker's second. I saw his head shake. He didn't get him out of mouth. Okay. It did change. I apologize. There's a motion that's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Point 4, consideration approval resolution number 2014-134, establishing an interlocal agreement with Harris County, establishing the Harris County Emergency Management Organization. Mr. Saul again.
As it is, just the other half of the piece that we just passed, and it creates a relationship between Harris County and Shore Acres and allows us to assist each other and count each other's employees as part of that organization, so that we can each seek reimbursement for the other's participation in the event. So Shore Acres can, if we get mutual aid from Harris County, we can apply for reimbursement for that aid so that we can pay Harris County for it and vice versa.
All right. Make a motion
that we approve resolution 2014-134.
And a second.
Okay.
I'm sorry, who's second? Yes. Now that we have a motion and it's been seconded properly, do we have any questions?
I have a question about the blank.
Yes.
Stated blank. Is that going to be today's date or is that going to be the county commissioners approve this?
It's when they approve this resolution, we send it to them.
All right. Motion has been properly seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? All right. We'll next one. This is not the one adjournment. We've got our meeting at 7:54. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.